just to tell you my experience before I came here in Oxford. I met a pain consultant. A pain consultant because sometimes when I meditate, I have some numbness on my left foot and not on the right one. I have seen 3 neurologists and I have done MRI, CT scan, and they have found nothing. So one devotee suggested that if I was interested, I could see this pain consultant. And mind you, it was in the gym. In the gym, so I was taken there to see this pain consultant. And he asked me to do some basic physical movement. I found some part of my body was stiff. Some basic movement. Not as complicated as yoga. Yoga. But I still found some part of my body stiff. For example, he would ask me to put my arms, to reach my back, to reach my head at the back like that. And the first time, I couldn't do that properly to his satisfaction. After a few times, I could do that. And after I have done, two or three times the exercises that he described to me, the numbness was almost gone. Just to tell you how mind-body relationship is very important. He said, upstairs, people are working in the gym. Okay, they have a very fit body and sick mind. And you have a fit mind but a sick body. And he said, I never thought I would be telling this to a Buddhist monk. So this is just before I came here to tell you. In America, such as in Wisconsin University, where people use mindfulness to do research in neurology and clinical psychology, people have found out that the mind influences the body and the body influences the mind. In neurological terms, your emotion influences your brain, the body, emotion, mental function. If you have negative emotion, then your right brain, the right cortex, frontal cortex, we have more high-level activities than the left one. If you are anxious, if you are in emergency mode, then the left brain will have more activities. So the emotion is reflected in the brain to physical phenomena. If your right brain has more activities than the left one, then the brain is sending messages to the nerve system throughout the body, and the whole body will become tense because the message that the body, the nerve system in your hands, around your face, around your shoulders, through the body, the nerve system, they receive like something like a siren. This is emergency. this emergency. Everybody goes into an emergency mode. Every part of the body. As if the emotion, the mind, dictating, influencing the brain, the right brain, and the right brain, dictating the nervous system. This is for protection, this is for survival. And if your brain works that way, that will be reflected back to the mind. If physically, if you are tense, psychologically, you can't be relaxed. You're going to be tense too. Whenever Sariputta, the chief disciple of the Buddha, compared the mind and the body like two straws, rely on each other to survive, to exist. In the Vipassana meditation, the first knowledge is called the knowledge of mind-body relationship. Nama, Rupa, Paricchita, Jnana. That's in Pali. You don't need to remember the Pali word. It means we have to be aware of, we have to be mindful, we have to understand which is the function of the mind, which is the body, and how they are related. That behavior, we need to know that. That's the first step of the gradual knowledge in the Vipassana practice. And today, neurological science and clinical psychology, they have verified this. So earlier we have identified our emotion, that's purely psychological function. What we need to do now is to extend it to the physical experience. You visualize a scenario where you really have a disagreement with somebody, very high intensity, maybe in the boardroom, in the company, at work, in the association, maybe at home. You remember that, you recall that emotion, you recall, you visualize that situation, you revisit that scenario, trying to reconnect with that emotion and see how you feel physically, trying to scan your body. Whether the nerve, the muscles, okay, around your head, the forehead, whether they are tense. From time to time, I look at the pain in my foot. I look at this, but observing the pain alone is not enough. You have to look at other parts of the body, whether the nerves, whether the muscles are tense. If the muscles are tense, the body, physical system, is coping with this pain using the emergency mode, maximum energy level. With that, you're going to be exhausted sooner or later because our energy is limited. It's limited. So from time to time, we have to check this. The easiest one is to check, okay, around our chins, our mouth, and the areas around our eyes, like this. When we pay attention, we use these nerves more than in other places. Maybe also the areas around our ears. If you breathe mindfully and trying to get connected with the physical experience around those areas, you will find out whether you are tense or not. And if the emotion is having impact on your physical body. With tense body, it's easy, it's a lot more difficult to let go of your emotion. We talk about letting go of anger, letting go of bitterness, disappointment. But just to say let go, the mind just doesn't want to follow. The subconscious mind behaves in its own way. So we have got to understand it. So the easiest way to do this is to look at how the mind and the body are affecting each other, mind-body relationship. When you are eating, by the time you start getting fat at a certain dish on the table, now you become disinterested in one of the dishes. Automatically, you start turning away from that and trying to take another dish. You may not be aware of the psychological behavior at that time. You may not be aware of the emotion dictating your behavior of eating at that time. But emotion that is dictating. Restlessness. Distraction. Ability or lack of ability to enjoy any particular dish properly. Can you survive just one dish with one dish? Okay, having your meal. If you can survive, try another meal. Morning, lunch, your supper, just one dish. If you can do that, you're going to save the world. I'm not joking. Professor Gordon Conway from Imperial College and London University, a friend. He was chief scientific advisor to the British government. He gave me a book about this. He's an expert on food and on soil erosion, soil preservation, all over the world. In order to produce 1 pound of meat, you need 7 pounds of soil to feed the animal. But if you eat chicken this morning, the next meal, you don't want to have chicken. It's almost a crime to repeat a menu. It's almost a crime, You're thinking, so what I should have next, all you are trying to do is not to repeat. At that time, physically, how do you feel? Just look at your mind, your body. Somewhere in your body, you are tense. Physically, you may be restless, not just mentally. If you want to change, even if you're a vegetarian, you want to change vegetables because you want to repeat them, then you need more area of land, the fertilized land to grow vegetables. You need more simply to satisfy your wish because you are restless, this restless emotion is dictating you. to chain and chain and chain. It takes us a long time. Okay, not to complain having one uniform. I can understand why you want to change the color every day. I can understand. You don't feel good. Not only you don't feel good, you don't feel confident, okay, going to work the same, I mean, in the same color every day. You don't feel confident. Even though no one is saying anything to you, no, there's a lot of chattering inside your mind. We take this for granted. There's a deep psychological problem in there. And the whole world is suffering from this. So when we are in a retreat, sometimes we ask people to wear just the same uniform. And they can look at their emotion. With that emotion, okay, if, because they have not changed their clothes and they have been wearing the same uniform, the same color for 2-3 days, and people start getting restless. And that would manifest it also in would manifest in the way they meditate, that the mind would be restless. Like that. So sometimes I inform the cook during the retreat, it's okay to repeat the menus. It's not to torture you, but to have you to see, you know, the behavior that we take it for granted. Are we kind to ourselves? Are we kind to the world? Are we kind to the environment? Are we kind to other people? Well, this session is to look at the mind and the body relationship. You take deep and slow breathing. If you find your mind wandering often, you will also find that your body is tense. When you find your body is tense, part of your body is tense, you will also find that your mind is not concentrated. And it's important to cultivate the attitude of compassion. Not to fight with this tense body and not to fight with this tense mind. I really like the description by one of my friends who is monk and meditation teacher. He said, at some point, the yogi, they come to realize that their mind is fighting with their body and their body is fighting with their mind. If our mind and our body are fighting with each other here and now, forget about peace in the world. We don't even have peace. So the first is to recognize that there is tension in the relationship between the mind and the body. And we go from there. So in this exercise, what we're going to do is to scan, to take deep and slow breathing, and then scan the body if you find any tension. That's the first step. The second step is to revisit some of the more obvious and strong emotion. Maybe positive one, maybe negative one. Positive one that you are so happy you jump over the moon. You try to relate to that emotion. Once you are related to that emotion, then scan your body, look at your body, how the body is. And also do the trying to reconnect with the negative emotions. If you see somebody you're not happy with, if you see somebody who used to criticize you, if you see somebody who you think doesn't like you, or the person you don't like, for whatever reason, trying to visualize that person, trying to recognize that emotion we have already done earlier, trying to register, get in touch with that emotion. And then extend it to the body. Just scan the body, if the body is tense. So first is yourself. And second is yourself in relation to other people. When we say other people, first your family, and the second, the people at work. If you have time, also the people in your social network, including those you know on Facebook. Okay, we can start now. We do about 10 minutes. If there is any question, I would be happy to entertain them. Two questions in my hands here, but I feel that this question will be answered automatically in the next session. It's about anger.
Skill sets. In some of your skill sets that you shared,
I think, as once again, I feel, you know, your question belongs to the next session, when we are going to work on the physical and emotional pain. Forgiveness as an emotion is very limited in its scope. We are talking about forgiving a person. So forgiveness is defined as a relationship between somebody who feels insulted and another person who we think has insulted. So it's a relationship between these two. The next session, we're going to talk about pain, maybe we're going to talk about compassion, karuna. And this one is more wide-ranging as an emotion. It can encompass all other emotions. That is by trying to relate to the pain within ourselves and within, and it's the pain in everyone, including somebody we think has insulted us, has abused our generosity, has spoken harshly, who has done a lot of injustice to us, whatever reason. So I think this topic will be covered in the next session as well. About mind and body relationship, any other question? If there's no question, I'd like to repeat the message again. When you're angry, it's important to check your physical state, how your muscles are around your face, around your shoulders, if possible, the whole body, you know, how you are. Just to bring awareness to that and relax. If you learn how to use mindfulness to relax your physical body, this will change, according to scientists, will change even your gene, the behavior of your gene. The gene will behave in a way that makes letting go easier. Brain is physical, but we know in the brain there are billions of neurons, and for each function, at least about 5,000 neurons, you know, have to work together. And if some of them got damaged, then the undamaged one, they will find other healthy neurons and start working with them. But this will only happen if emotionally you are healthy. If you are negative emotionally, those neurons, they wouldn't fire up. They wouldn't rewire according to using the term the neurologists use. They wouldn't try to reconnect with the healthy neurons. And if the brain remains in that state, that's going to affect the mind. And the mind is going to affect the body. You can see the loop going on and on like that. So the mind and the body, the relationship between them. When you get a call and you don't like what the other person is saying on the line. Just breathe. Okay. Deep and slow and look at, your physical reaction. This is the first step in letting go. The first step. It's not just the mind to let go, but the body has to let go as well. We hold on to a lot of stress chemicals in our body. Stress chemicals from work, you take them home. From home, you take them work and you transport them on a daily basis. Stress chemicals. From the previous meeting to this meeting, from this meeting to the next meeting, you transport the agitated gene, the agitated stress chemical. You come to the meeting, okay, not relaxed physically and mentally. Okay. Your minds are already, your hearts and minds are already predetermined. In that situation, you are not going to be open to suggestion in the meeting. You're not going to feel comfortable if somebody says something that doesn't agree with your ideas. So in the discourse of blessing, Mangala Sutta, the Buddha says, Dhamma Sakaccha, in order to have good dialogue, the first one we have to have is tolerance, kandit. Tolerance. If I hear something that I don't like, and if my body tenses up straight away, that means, you know, physically my body has no patience. Is already going into the emergency mode. Only a relaxed body is patient, and that patient body, that patient heart, patient mind has more resilience to listen to different ideas, to try to process, to try to see from their point of view, to try to reason with them without anger. So in the discourse of blessing, Mangala Sutta, meaning the one is tolerant, the other is good speech, meaning good communication. And then you want to see people, you know, who have different ideas, and then dialogue. In all this, emotion management is very important. Very important. Tense mind and tense body tend to reject and shut up. A relaxed mind, relaxed body open up and create more space for ideas, for differences to coexist. So a question here is, please give an example how to talk to the others like this. The first thing that we need to look at is to look at ourselves, preconceived notion. If we have already determined this person is like this, like that, meaning we are not open anymore. In that situation, we have already created the basis for clash, to clash with each other. Because, you know, we have fixed ideas. All we try to do is to persuade them to agree with us. Uh-huh. One question is how to improve our relationship after identifying our emotion? The first is to try to make sure that emotionally we don't go into emergency mode. If we go into emergency mode, we use our energy at maximum level, as I mentioned last night. Our liver, our heart, our lungs, they pump up more blood using more energy, and we are going to run out of that energy sooner or later. An exhausted person, that's somebody who has no enough sleep, that person is easily agitated. If a child is sleepy, if a child is tired, this child is very grumpy. But if the child is well contented, that means they have good sleep. They are not tired, they have full of energy. So they have more resilience to tolerate. So the message of this second session is the importance of the relationship between the mind and the body. I think we take another break, about 7 minutes break, and we come back for another session. This time is a more difficult session, I warn you.